Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Nobody likes creepy crawlers when we see them outside, but when the weather gets cold and they try to come inside, our dislike turns to disgust and even rage. Well, the weather is changing, and that means the chances of seeing bugs, mice, snakes, and other pests become more active. All of that on the increase. Well, what do we do about it? Well, joining me tonight to talk about this skin-crawling topic is Van Postel, president of Blazing Pest Control. If you have a comment, if you have a question, if you have creepy crawlers, critters, big ones or small, coming into your house, your garage, even those with fur and big tails, give us a call. We have some answers for you at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Hey, Van, welcome back to the program. How are you?
Everything is going well. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you know, for a lot of people, during this time of year, things are not really going well. And, you know, a lot of people are a little embarrassed to admit, yeah, maybe there are some furry four-legged friends that they didn't bring into the house on purpose. They may see crawling around. What's going on during this time of year as the temperature begins to drop?
Well, a lot of times, once the temperature drops, then rodents in general, they're going to seek warmth. And they're not going to go far from their warmth to find food. So it's imperative that you keep crumbs and any small debris from food. Make sure that's swept up every night if you're having a rodent problem inside of your home. That's imperative.
Mm-hmm. Are there some homes that are more susceptible to them than others? Because, you know, a lot of people are clutching their pearls and saying, well, I'm a clean person. I shouldn't have mice coming into the house. Is that always the case?
Not at all. We've seen new construction as well as, like, most homes in the district. You know, the row homes, they have the old radiators. The homes that were built in the 40s and the 30s and the 50s. So a lot of times with those radiators, as time goes on, that wood, that the pipe goes down into the hole, a lot of times that's where they come from. They travel a lot of times through the plumbing system, through the heating system. So we've noticed a lot of them, in specifically with the row houses, that they come through those areas. That's a very common area. A lot of times people don't look.
It's so funny. I remember as a kid, growing up in Lanham, and there was this minuscule mouse that was coming up through the bathtub pipe. I mean, this was way back in the 70s when the home that I grew up in was very, very new. There was nothing there before that house was built. And it came up through the bathtub drain. And my father put a one of those good old-fashioned mouse traps in the tub. And he caught it and never had a problem again during, you know, the many years that, you know, that I lived there. But how should people address mice in the house?
Well, if you're having a problem with mice infestation in your house, one of the things I like to recommend is keeping your toilet lid down. That's critical because mice are very good swimmers. Mice and rats are very good swimmers. And when you're having a problem, I've seen them come through the plumbing up in the toilet and get stuck in the toilet, and they can't get out. So because of the porcelain of the toilet, they can't grip it with their feet and hands. So that's one thing I like to recommend. I also recommend, of course, sanitation is crucial. You want to make sure there is no food, or like if you have pet, like dog food down, I would take that up at nighttime. I will pick that up and make sure there's no crumbs or anything. You don't want anything that's conducive to mice. In other words, to give mice more, something that's more attractive for them to comfortable and give them the, you know, the food source. You want to definitely eliminate that.
Yeah,
so
that
cat food and dog food is definitely a no-no at nighttime.
Yeah, keep your toilet lid down. That could be a really unpleasant surprise if you sit down in the middle of the night half asleep.
Absolutely.
But what about, you know, other areas? Because, you know, it's my understanding, you know, that, you know, mice, they can get through the smallest cracks and crevices. You know, first of all, how do they do that? And what is, even if you're trying to stay as clean as possible, what is the best kind of trap for them? And what other kind of preventative measures should you implement?
Okay, well, first, mice and rats, if the theory is if the head can get in, the body will go. So a lot of times you hear people say, oh, I saw the rat, and he was, you know, he was 3 feet long. Well, if the head can get in, the body will go, no matter how fat the body is. One of the things I like to recommend, like over-the-counter products that people can use as a temporary fix, is peppermint. Mice can't stand peppermint. Mice or rats, for that matter, they can't stand peppermint. So if you want to use peppermint areas that you've seen them, like, you know, on the baseboards, under the stove or like near the dishwasher, that'll repel them, but it's only a temporary fix. You want to make sure that you check for holes and openings on the inside, preferably once the weather breaks. Like outside, you got the air conditioned units. Some like the newer homes had air conditioned units. The older homes, the DC row homes, you know, you had the gas meters. So you want to check and make sure there's no openings, make sure that's sealed properly as well.
Mm-hmm. So I would imagine, what, do you caulk those things? Do you stuff them? What?
Yeah, you can use some insulation foam will work. Some caulking will work. That will do. If you want to really do it right, I always recommend a professional to do it right, so it's nice and clean and professionally done. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, a lot of people don't have the money to call a professional, so I would recommend using foam or caulking themselves.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about getting rid of pests in your house, particularly as the weather turns cold, bugs, mice, larger furry creatures, and even some of the really big ones like opossum, raccoons, maybe even fox and the like. What do you do when they are in your house or perhaps trying to come in and bother your trash? Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. D, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Okay, so I lived in a place in Arlington. I live in the historic areas where they have these homes that you can't tear down. And when I moved in, I didn't realize there was an infestation of mice, and they were just everywhere. And it was during COVID, so I couldn't move. And then when I finally got the chance to move, because I finally had to move out because I couldn't take it anymore, now I'm in this place, and I have this, like, residual trauma where I just feel like every time I look around, I'm, like, seeing mice running or I hear them or something. But I never see them. And I have two dogs. But I never see them. But I don't know if they're here, because I don't know if it's in my mind, because it was just so awful. And we really kept everything clean. We never kept food out. We never had any, like, we never left doors open. But they're just there because it was an old house. I'm still in an old house because I moved to a different part. But I'm just, like, always fearful that there's something out there. And I don't know how to check. My dogs are, like, not responding to anything. They're hunters, but I don't know. I just don't know what to do, and I'm just, like, freaking out all the time, like every morning.
What
I'm,
does, like, it sound out. Like? You said you think you hear.
I don't know. I feel like when I go downstairs to the kitchen, like, I'm like, okay. Like, when I'm walking, I'm like, I hear something. But then when I stop, it stops. And then I'm like, well, is it the floor vibrating that's, like, causing things to make noises? Or is it me hearing something? And then I'm, like, always checking. But I was like, I don't see anything in the food. I don't see, like, I don't keep food out. But, like I keep ramen noodles. They're, like, really great ones, really expensive ones. But I keep them, like, on the on the refrigerator.
Yeah. Well, let me
wrapped up.
Hold on for a second. So, Van, what should she look for?
First thing you need to look for is droppings. Rodents always leave droppings. They also leave scuff marks. They look like dark brownish grayish marks. Usually between stoves, dishwashers, and refrigerators. So that's the first telltale sign that you want to look for. And the droppings look like little black rice, but they pinched at the end. So that's the first thing you want to look for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Second thing you want to look at too is see if anything is being chewed up, such as toilet paper, paper towels, how they have the canned goods. Sometimes they'll shred the papers that's around those. So you want to look at your dry food products too. I don't know if you have your food already stored, but if you do, you want to go through your items and see if anything has been shredded.
Yeah.
Paper-wise.
I don't mean to laugh. This is such a horrible story. When I was in undergrad school and I was living with, two other guys, and, in college you have no money. And we went to the corner store because they used to sell half loaves of bread and a little jar of peanut butter. So we pulled our money together. And so that, we all had tests the next day. We figured that would be great breakfast, a little toast, peanut butter, a little protein, mm-hmm. little carb to get you through the day. So we put the bread on top of the refrigerator. And in the morning, there was a tunnel eaten all the way through the bread because the mice in the house had eaten through the bread. It's funny, but it's not funny, mm-hmm. but... they'll definitely let you know if you're there.
Absolutely.
There. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mice have a temperament of a child. So they can eat a little bit of bread. They're nibblers. So they'll eat a little bit over there, the kitchen, the dining room. They might see some over there, nibble on that. Now, the rats, on the other hand, they like the same thing over and over again, or they'll get stressed. You change up their habitat, they change. It'll stress them. Stress them out.
Okay.
So those are the things I need her to look for is the droppings, the little black rice, that's what it looks like on the ground, and also the gnaw marks.
Okay.
And the runway marks. If you look for that, you should be okay.
Dee, thank you so much.
If I don't see those, then I'm good. It's just in my head.
Correct, because they're going to leave telltale signs that they've been there.
Yeah. Well, Dee, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about pests, how to keep them out of your house. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Now, what about, bugs, roaches, spiders, centipedes, those kinds of things, Van? What do you do about those?
Well, the centipedes and the ants, I like to call those my imported pests. Those pests are primarily in the warmer months.
Mm-hmm.
So we pretty much don't have to worry about those too much. Spiders, yes. Actually, spiders are our friends. They keep what you really don't want out. But, they are spiders and people freak out when you see them. Best thing to do with spiders is to remove all the cobwebs from specifically top of the window in the corner. That's where they tend to start making their web. And if you keep those webs down, you'll keep the spiders out. That's right. There's a lot of work for spiders to create in that. It's time consuming for them to really create a good full web.
Okay.
But with roaches, of course, the number one thing I'm going to look at is cleanliness. You want to make sure, again, that there are no crumbs, make sure that the sinks are clean, no water, no dishes in the sink. At night when you go to bed, make sure that's all cleaned up. And roaches drink water as well. So we want to keep that in mind, keep that clean. We want anything conducive to roach control, which is food spillages and water driplets and so forth like that.
Okay. We need to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk about some other pests. What do you do about the pests with no legs, like snakes? And what about your trash cans? And what about your compost cans? Foxes, opossums, raccoons. Some smart animals out there. How do you keep them away? Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. When we come back, we're going to talk to Amy from Virginia, Melissa from Maryland. Don't hang up. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. We'll be back on Sirius XM in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about getting rid of creepy crawlers in your home and around your home. How do you get rid of them? How do you keep them away? My guest is Van Postel, president of Blazin Pest Control. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Melissa, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Melissa. What's on your mind?
Hello, Harold and Van. I just want to ask, is cayenne pepper a natural deterrent? I know when I plant my garden, that's what I use to keep a lot of birds and insects from my garden.
Van, what about that cayenne pepper?
It is a good repellent. However, I believe that black pepper works a little bit better, specifically the fine black pepper.
Now, you're talking about for outside, for garden plants and the like.
Yes.
Right, yeah. Oh, you have a garden?
Well, I will have another one coming this spring, but when I plant my garden, that's what I usually use, and I notice it keeps, like, a lot of ants, a lot of birds, a lot of whoever's attracted to my garden, it keeps them away.
Okay. That may work. You got to be careful because you don't want to put anything down that will harm your plants. You want to make sure there's no burrows, rodent burrows, around your garden, so you want to check the outside of your garden and make sure there's no burrows. That's the most important thing before you apply the repellent. But you want to make sure anything that's around it is taken care of before you plant your garden. That's what I recommend.
Now, what's burrowing around the garden or outside of the garden?
Well, what rodents like to do is, rats in particular, they like to create holes in the ground. And they come to dens. There's always an entrance and an exit. So the entrance could be on one side. The exit could be on the other side. So you want to make sure if you see one hole, you want to search real good around the other areas of your garden, because there is another exit hole as well. And what they use that to go down into the ground, and they create dens. And they get paper and food, and they take it back in those dens and you know, to reproduce, and also nesting material for their young.
Okay, when I do my garden, I usually do them in pots so it's off the ground.
Okay.
All right. Now, if you have those burrowing animals like rats, as you say, or maybe even, you know, groundhogs, how do you get rid of them?
Really, the one thing that the resident can do, the person can do, is only really use repellent. That will help kicking in the burrow. You know, and they'll come right back out. But if it continues, then I recommend definitely calling professional out to have that treated specifically, because, you know, the material that's going to be needed, you have to have a licensed operator to put that material down in the ground. However, you want to just kick it in for the temporary, and if it reopens, then that would be my recommendation, because there's not too much that you can do. There's anything over the counter that will work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Melissa, thank you so much for your phone call. Good luck to you. What about, I've got a message here. What about mothballs? Will that work against mice in the house?
Mothballs does work temporarily. Now, if you want to soak cotton balls in peppermint, that works as well. So mothballs will work as a temporary repellent. because as time goes on, those mothballs, it will decrease the effectiveness. The repellent material that's in it will decrease, and the mites will persistent, will go on with their normal routines once it goes down. The smell goes down.
When you say peppermint, are you talking about like peppermint oil?
Peppermint oil, yes. You can soak them in cotton balls.
Okay. All righty. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Amy calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I have a question regarding to fabric softener. I find that fabric softener stuff in the holes, the mice, it has worked so far, but what is good for, like, silverfish?
Silverfish are, they prefer to be in, like, attics. We tend to find them mostly in attics, bathrooms on the top floor with the fans. We always find them most likely coming out of there or out of the light fixtures. So I only recommend, they have basic sprays that you can use that you can spray around. Most supermarkets or home hardware stores, you can spray around the light fixtures, or you can spray like in the corners. That will help.
Okay.
That will help a little.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay, because I find that chalk also works with the ants, so I outline in my door, so they won't cross that.
Right. They will go the other way. They're very fast. They will go the other way.
Chalk?
They will go the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, chalk.
You also said one thing about, you said fabric softener. What were you using the fabric softener for?
I found, like, little holes in my garage, so I stuffed it with fabric softener to keep the mice out.
Okay, I'm going to tell you something. Specifically, regular Bounce works the best for that.
Yes. Yes. It does.
Okay. I'm learning something here. Amy, thank you so much. She did mention, Van, about chalk. Drill down a little bit on the chalk and ants. What, they won't cross chalk?
Well, chalk, I think she's talking about chalk comes in the form of a boric acid.
I see.
Right. That's what it is. And once they get it on them, that's it. It'll wipe them out.
Okay.
Now, chalk is a repellent, so don't be surprised if you see a trail of ants and then the adjacent room say if you put the chalk line in the kitchen, don't be surprised to have them in the dining room or the living room, the adjacent room, because you're breaking up their pheromones when you apply that chalk down.
Interesting. Very interesting. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. India calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, India. What's on your mind?
Hi. Good evening. Good evening. Wanted to comment and kudos to the gentleman that was giving suggestions on how to keep the mice out. So I recently experienced a major infestation of mice. I live in a home, family home, over 60 years. My parents bought this home, and I live here now. And so from Thanksgiving up until about the second week in January, mice were just coming in and out, in and out. Yes, the peppermint does help. It keeps them at bay, but they come back. But what I learned, of course, your neighbors in these row houses, people that have homes that no one's staying there can contribute to it. But how I manage it, of course, an exterminator, but also I had steel wool put down. I have several rooms in the house that did not have the molders because the house is wall-to-wall carpet, and so my parents never saw a need to put the molders down if under the baseboards. I guess that's the perfect right name to call it, but in doing that, haven't seen anything since. But when I say major, I'm saying maybe four adults, maybe it was two husbands and two wives, and 16 babies.
Oh my!
Falling off the stairwell. It was a matter of me putting a trap there to catch them.
Yeah.
They found their way in the weirdest places, but of course, up against the walls where we're nice and warm, under beds, watching them run. I am so serious.
Yeah.
Watching them just hop. I've never seen a mouse hop. have to write a book. But to say the row houses in the neighborhood, actually, my neighborhood, we have our monthly association meeting on Monday. I am the president of Stronghold Civic Association, and we will be having a discussion about this. It's just interesting that you're online with this evening.
Yeah, well, I would say good luck with that and give them the best advice that you can about keeping that mouse infestation not only out of your house but in the houses in your neighborhood. Thank you so much for your input, India. Before I go back to the phone lines, I wanted to ask you about some of the other rodents, because one of the things that we're hearing some complaints about is that, you know, some larger animals, they don't necessarily come into the house, you know, raccoons, opossum, even, you know, fox for that matter, but they're getting into trash cans. Mm-hmm. How can you prevent that from happening?
Well, what I would like to recommend with the city trash cans, you want to make sure that the lid hasn't been eaten by rats. I'm finding a lot of that. Also, when they empty your trash, make sure you sanitize the bottom of your trash can. That is imperative. Because what happens is raccoons are creatures of habit. So they're going to keep on coming back because they know that's the food source. So you don't want them bringing their babies back and then they find the entries in your home, want some stoppage. One of the things I know we're talking about the trash, but make sure you have proper chimney caps. I can't stress that enough. Because a lot of times I've seen them, you know, we've seen them in chimneys a lot. And they get in through your chimneys, and next thing you know, you're in the house, and they hiding with the teddy bears and everything.
No.
Yes. Yes. So you want to make sure, it's important that you sanitize and make sure your trash is being emptied when it's supposed to be, especially for the trash cans being, you know, set outside for the city to come and get it. Make sure you sanitize it. When they bring it back, make sure you sanitize it. I would prefer either Clorox or ammonia. Be careful. Use gloves when you use.
Why, God, check your teddy bears. You know what?
We've had some homes that had, they hide with the teddy bears. Mm-hmm.
Wow, raccoons. My gracious. Now, I know some communities have composting cans where you have, you know, the food that is used as a fertilizer compost. What do you do with that?
Well, again, you want to do the same thing. You want to make sure it's properly closed. No food spillages. If it's properly closed and no food spillages coming out of it or leaking out of it, you'll be fine. You would have no problem. Mm. Because rodents and wildlife, they have a great sense of smell.
So here's a question. You know, you mentioned the peppermint oil. Why not just dump a capful in the bottom of the trash can, where I'm sure that, you know, that scent would be very, very strong for any rodent, but not problematic for the sanitation workers that are picking up the trash cans?
Right. Well, the reason I recommend either Clorox or ammonia because it will clean it as well.
I see.
The peppermint oil, you only get a one-shot deal. That's just to keep them out. But not only are you going to keep them out, you're going to sanitize it and keep it clean as well. And it makes it much more unattractive. Mm-hmm. And it'll hold up a lot longer in the elements on the outside, whether it's hot or cold. Mm-hmm. Peppermint will break down a lot faster.
All right. Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Angela, calling from Hyattsville. Angela, thanks
Hello?
For calling. Yes. Hi, Angela. How are you?
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm fine. Quick question.
What's on your mind?
Killer hornet. Killer hornet. So last year, you know, at the top of the roof where you have that little, it's like a slatted vent that you have. I guess it's like between the roof and like some insulation, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. At any rate, there was a huge hive right at the very bottom where it meets the roof. So it wasn't actually near that vent anyway. I waited all summer because they were just always buzzing around, and I finally knocked it down. My question is, how do you prevent killer hornets from kind of locating a nest? Should I put some sort of metal mesh in front of that vent? You know, pay someone to make sure they don't get inside, because I don't want them inside my house. And how do you prevent, do bees, like raccoons, have a habit of always going to the same place?
Well, let me ask you first, let's get with the bees first. What color was the nest? Was it the size of a basketball? And what color was it?
It was like the size of almost like a basketball. Yeah, it was brown.
Like a grayish brownish color.
Yeah.
That's called the ball-faced hornet. Be careful. When they attack, they go all in. Okay, so you want to make sure. I don't recommend you handling anything like that at all. You definitely would need a professional dealing with those, because what happens is you have to kind of be trained to deal with those. I mean, they stay, right, and then the whole nest know, and they coming out, and they will chase you. And a lot of people, right, you've seen on commercials where they jump in the water and wait for the bees. No, they will wait. But you stick your head back out, and they will.
Oh, my gracious.
Yes.
I waited one time until October when it was like a cold day and it was like really raining, like a storming. And so I took my ladder and I just took a bat and I just knocked
Jesus.
It down.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Because I couldn't even do my yard work on that. I mean, my that side of the yard was looking like a jungle. I couldn't even get over there because they were always swarming. So I guess what my question is, will those same hornets try to come back and rebuild, like raccoons, are they habitual to a location? Do you know?
No, only the queen builds the nest, not the workers. Okay. They just protect the nest. They protect her. They feed her so she can reproduce. So she builds the whole nest. So once she's done, that's it. She never comes out, and they do everything for her. So once you did all, and I'm surprised you didn't get stung, but once that nest came down, that's it. The queen is going to leave. Everything's down. You might have some foraging hornets that will come back for a couple of days because the nest is down. Not all of them are in there. They're usually all in at nighttime.
Right.
So if you did it during the daytime, you're going to have other bees coming back, and they're going to be a little upset. And anything around there will get stung.
Okay.
So be
another
careful.
Quick question.
Make sure you be extremely careful. Uh-huh.
Yeah, go
another
ahead.
Quick
real
question,
quick.
If I could.
Yes.
I had a little copperheads, little baby copperheads. Kind of, you know, did a just kind of cut them up like sushi with my machete. Just want to know, does lime work really well around, you know, crevices where I keep my trash can? I moved them. It was like 6 or 7 of them, like little baby ones, but I got them real quick.
You're talking about copperheads in the sense of snakes.
She's talking about snakes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'm not afraid of snakes, but I just don't want them to grow up to be big snakes.
Okay. Now, here's the deal with those. You want to make sure that your mulch is raked often, specifically in when you put the mulch down. If it's treated or untreated mulch will buckle, and they'll create pockets for them to bask in, and then they can slither underneath the pocket and rest and stick their head out free. So you want to make sure you don't have no mulch. If you have mulch, make sure that it's raked.
I did have mulch. Snakes
are not, when only when they're young, they tend to stick together. But once they get a little older, they venture out to find small rodents to eat. So they won't hang together. So if you see one, it's just that you just happen to be in the area searching for rodents.
And copperheads are poisonous, aren't they?
Correct.
They are.
Yeah. So be afraid. Be very afraid, Angela, first of all.
And
where do you live? I mean, you've got killer hornets. You've got devil snakes. What's going on?
I'm from Upper Marlboro, so I'm used to like country and deers and foxes. So a lot of stuff doesn't scare me. So anyway, thank you.
Yeah, just be careful.
Keep your bushes trimmed as well.
Will do.
Yeah, be careful. Wow. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Lynn calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Lynn. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
Good evening to you and your guest, Harold. You know, I was listening to the program. Let me be real quick. There are people who live in apartment buildings,
mm-hmm,
live in the houses too, but mainly the people who live in the apartment buildings who I notice bring trash out with no bag. They've been in the trash can in their house, and they come out, lift the trash container up, and just throw the contents directly into the dumpster with no bag. Some things don't hit the dumpster right away. They may maybe a carton that'll fall out, or a, you know, an eggshell that'll fall away. Can we be more mindful of how we maybe put our trash bags out? You know, our trash out. Sometimes you can use maybe an old grocery store bag and maybe use your trash for that. I don't know if they're doing it, if they just don't realize that this can attract mice, or maybe they just don't care. I see it too often.
Yeah. So Lynn, turn your radio down for us, please. But and Van, go right ahead. What's on? What do you have to say about what Lynn is discussing?
Well, Lynn, if you have trash spillages like that, if you don't, you will soon have mice and roaches, or rats, mice and roaches. I would talk to my property manager, and I would say this needs to be cleaned up because I don't want them in my house. Because eventually it's going to come. If they just filling trash while they're taking it to the trash dump, those are extremely conducive to rodents and roaches.
Yeah.
And what happens, I don't know if you live in a high rise or garden style apartment, but in the high rise, they will go up them trash chutes, the roaches, as they will infest.
It's a garden style apartment. And incidentally, it's really nothing you can do about it, but I was in the metro station the other day. There's one particular station where they're like, they don't care if you're standing there or not. They run right by you. You're sitting waiting on the train, and they're like right on the, you know, they're waiting there with you. You know?
Right. Well, subway systems are very famous for having rodents. Specifically, New York is absolute worst. But I've seen them in the metro line as well. You know, they have their control. They should be on top of that. There's nothing you can do about that, but Metro should have a program in place to keep those vermin, at bay.
Yeah. Well, Lynn, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. Good luck. I will say, Van, one of my big pet peeves are people who litter. And I think that when people throw fast food containers and I see it all the time in cities, that is one of the things that really contributes to pests in our communities, where trash is unsecured, whether it's in a trash can near your home or trash cans on city streets, or when people are just, for lack of a better word, just trifling and just throwing stuff out of their cars.
Absolutely. And a lot of times with these restaurants, you know, I won't name them, but a lot of restaurants in D.C., when they get rid of a lot of food that they don't sell, they take that trash and they dump it into the trash containers in the alley. Now, in the alley, the rats, we get hairline cracks become bigger and bigger and bigger. The rats are going in the cement down in the ground, and then they only have like 10 or 15 feet, and they have their food source. So as time goes on, they just breed. Next thing you know, you're seeing the rats all out in the street. So that's, you know, I like to tell restaurants all the time, it's imperative that you bag up the food properly and discard it into the trash cans properly. But it's hard it's really hard for them to sanitize it and put the ammonia and the Clorox at the bottom and make sure it's crystal clean, because they busy, so they going real fast. So that's something that a lot of these cities are going to have to get a program to have these alleys done a little better, in my opinion.
Yeah. What is the worst job you've ever worked on?
You said what's the worst job?
Yeah, the worst experience you've had in since you've been running your pest control business.
Exactly what we just talked about, rats in the alley, a restaurant we were doing the pest control for, and it was rats running all around my feet. If you know the movie Willard, it was kind of consistent with that.
Ugh.
And I'm looking like, oh my goodness. So I had to call more guys in, and we had to do the necessary and a hold and get them taken care of. Because we know once I know where they're going, it's a wrap. They got to go home. They can run around, but once I know where that home is, it's pretty much a wrap. Mm-hmm.
What is the most unusual pest you've ever had to deal with?
An armadillo.
A what?
Armadillo.
But is that a pest or a pet?
Actually, you got to be careful with them. You know, they have leprosy, so you have to be extremely. I caught one. It wasn't my intention. I was looking to catch a raccoon, but I actually caught an armadillo. That was the most unusual pet I ever caught. And I took him way down Southern Maryland and let him go.
So, mm-hmm. So, where was this armadillo? Where did you catch it?
You wouldn't believe where I caught it. I caught it in Rock Creek Park.
Okay. Okay. That actually makes a little bit of sense. But was it at a home?
No, it was actually it was at a home, but it was adjacent, you know, because it's real hilly in that area.
Yes.
And I had to trap it because I didn't want, you know, people walk their pets and you know, dogs got. I was specifically trying to get one specific pest. And so you got to be careful when you put the trap, you got to monitor the trap, and so when I came back, it was in there, it was an armadillo.
That just seems to be, you know, unusual. I know nothing about armadillos, but I mean, do you have armadillos just hanging around D.C.? Is that?
Not at all. But with the construction that's going on now, you know, we building up the city left and right. We got these new extravagant, beautiful buildings coming up left and right. Well, the wildlife has to go somewhere, you know? So why not your backyard with a nice, you know, trash cans not on the lid? That's what the topic is today, not on the, you know, properly placed. So that's why it's important, you know, for the people, the listening audience, to make sure your trash cans have proper lids. And inspect them. Make sure they're not gnawed. Rats will gnaw through them sometimes as well. So make sure if they gnaw through them, have a little hole, tell the city you want to replace them. You want a new one. Mm.
If you encounter an opossum or a raccoon around your trash, what do you do?
I would call a professional to come out. I don't think you should go near it because you don't know what the temperament of that wildlife is. It could have young. And they are very protective of their young. So you don't want to be running around getting chased by one of these vermin. And so just leave it. If you can take pictures, that will be helpful. And then have it taken care of that way. But I would definitely call a professional when you're dealing with those. And also use the repellents. Mm-hmm. They will help as well.
What about turkey vultures? We've heard that they are also can be, you know, problematic in some areas of the surrounding counties. I've not seen them in the city, in Baltimore where I live, but I see them as I'm driving along 295. I mean, these things are really huge. But what do you do about them if they are, you know, showing up around your property?
Well, if they're showing up around your property, it must be something dead because they have tremendous eyesight. Their vision is spectacular. I like to call them the roadkill specialists. Mm-hmm. So if you got a deer, they're going to get them cleaned up to bones. If you leave them be, they will eat. They just dead carcasses specimens. That's all they want. They don't cause any harm. Then office buildings, we've had problems with them perching in, you know, on the balconies of a lot of executives, specifically in Rockville. So when they see the images, when they look at the mirror, because they look all glass and they see the images, they think it's a group of them. So they like to perch because they're social.
Wow.
But they won't cause any harm or anything like that. They're more afraid of you than of them.
And if somebody thinks they may have mice, should they get a cat?
Now, that's a myth because not all cats are mice chasers. I've seen cats just sit there and watch the mice just go back and forth. And they say, well, man, I got the cat. He ain't doing anything. I said, well, it's not true. Not all cats will chase mice. You know, it may not. I can't guarantee that. I mean, they have temperaments and they have feelings just like you and I. He may not want to be bothered with it.
That's amazing. Wow. This has certainly been quite educational. Van Postel, President of Blazing Pest Control, always a pleasure to have you on the show. Be safe as you're out there chasing armadillos, man.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Earl.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, February 2nd. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.